Hey, this is Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, David here, and welcome to the show. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous Sunday night here. So I am actually recording this the night before you're going to be listening to the show. I just spent the afternoon out on the lake. I took the boat out on my own. I needed a little R&R time, a little me time, a little time just for me to sort of be out there and enjoy the water and the sun and to sort of just reflect and be really present with myself. It was just a gorgeous afternoon. And something's gone on this week with my son, Ben, that I thought I'd share. And I hope he doesn't mind. I really haven't asked his permission, but I just thought it would be really important that you sort of come along in this journey with me, because Ben and I have always had this really unique relationship where we've had absolute trust. And he's 14, 6 feet tall. He's going to be about 6'6 or 6'7 by the time he's done. You know, and he has the passcode to my credit cards. And, you know, I just always, always, always trusted Ben 100%. And we've always had this thing where, you know, we've always talked about the fact that he never, ever has to lie, right? And so recently I caught him in a lie. And that was, he explained to me the reason he lied was because he was trying to protect a friend. And I understood that. It didn't really bother me too much. I understood that there was a reason in his mind, not necessarily the right reason. Remember one of my quotes that I've written, tell the truth all the time with compassion. So then yesterday I happened to walk past his bedroom on the outside of the house and I peeked in and he was playing a game on a computer. Now, the fact that there was no reason for him not to be doing that necessarily. But what I thought I'd do is I'd go and tap. He thought we were out of the house and I actually popped back to the house and I'd given him a couple of jobs to do. So I came back and I tapped on his bedroom door. And I said, hey, Ben. And he said, yeah, I'm just cleaning my room. I said, really? He said, yeah. So I opened the door and he looks me straight in the eye and really tells me that he is telling the truth, right? I mean, he could just tell I was questioning the fact that he was cleaning his room. And he was like, Dad. And so I just said to him, in a really quiet voice, I said, Ben, I just looked at you through the window. And I walked out. And for him, I mean, you know, I'm the kind of guy sometimes if I lose my rag, I'll sort of get loud and noisy for a few minutes and let it go, right? But it's about 24 hours right now, and he's been really, really, really upset by this. And I can tell it's affected him. And I know that tonight I'm going to have a real chat with him, a deeper chat. But I asked him to go down to ride his bike down to Chapters and buy the book, The Speed of Trust, which I've asked him to read. And you know, it's been, it was almost like someone cheated on me. It was almost like, you know, imagine finding your girlfriend in bed with someone, right? That kind of feeling. Because when I had this level of trust and, you know, and he looks at me last night, he's got big tears running down his face. And he's like, you know, Dad, I am so, so sorry, you know, and I get he is. And I realized that, you know, me giving him this, I mean, I took him shopping this morning, but I just wasn't my usual self with him. I was just very short and very obviously disappointed. And I said that to him. I said, you know, this is really disappointing. I said, because what I've always had with you is 100% trust. And I put my trust in you. And now I don't know what to believe anymore. Right. I said, so I'm not sure how we rebuild the trust. So I didn't want to sort of skip over it because I'm realizing that this is one of those pivotal moments in his life where, you know, he can start to learn how powerful truth is and how destructive non-truth is. Because, you know, this is a seemingly nothing kind of thing where a kid's just saying, well, no, I was doing something. But because he looked me in the eyes, he said, Dad, I'm telling you the truth. Then he crossed all the lines, right? Because now he's absolutely lying. I mean, and he could have easily said, I was just mucking around on the computer, right? I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. I know I would have just said, hey, don't forget, I've got those two jobs I need you to get done, right? And it would have been, there would have been no reason for it. So it's been a really interesting 24 hours because it's been deeply hurtful. I mean, in many, many ways. And it's sort of, I don't get affected very much by things like this, you know, not anymore. But I feel like I'm really having to sort of go through some stuff myself, which has been really fascinating. And so I'm looking forward to tonight where I can sort of let him out of the sort of the isolation he may feel right now. And I know he's at chapters. I know Jen just texted me to say that they're picking up the four agreements, which is all about being impeccable with your word. Only because The Speed of Trust is really, really hard to read. It's a very, very complex book. And he's read the first four chapters. And, you know, Jen thinks I should give him an easier book that would be maybe a little bit more something he can absorb easily. So anyway, so I conceded with that one. But we'll see how it goes. And I want to talk a little bit about trust and leadership and trust. And I have something I want to share with you. But before that, I did a little training over the weekend. And I asked Joy Arthur, I said, Joy, what's your favorite song? And this is one of them. So I'm going to share it with you. Here we go.
I ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. I hate to turn up out of the blue. Uninvited, but I couldn't stay away. I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best of you too. Don't forget me. You know how the time flies only.
Such a great voice. That's Adele. Someone Like You. And I want to sort of, again, I'm going to go into a little bit of a guy that's really had massive impact, and we're really hoping to get him to our next leadership event, and we're working on it hard. He's really expensive and he's really good at what he does, and we'll see how it goes. But I want to share a leadership quote with you. It's, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. John Quincy Adams. And leadership is the capacity to translate vision into reality. Okay. So that being said, I want to share with you a TED talk. We'll just go into it a little bit. And this is with Simon Sinek. And it says, why good leaders make you feel safe. And again, you know, sort of based on this conversation I've just shared with you around trust and building safety. And for those of you out there that, you know, do lie. And I know a lot of people do. I mean, we're so afraid of the truth in this Western culture we live in. And even someone invites you for dinner, you know, instead of saying, no, I can't. Thanks. We have to make up sometimes a story around it to get through that kind of thing. Or we're late for work. We have to blame something instead of just saying, oh my God, you know what? I just got up late. Sorry. You know, just sort of really allowing the buck to stop right here, right in front of our own feet, even when it's not our fault sometimes. And I love doing that. I love taking the blame for something that's definitely not my bad. Because, you know, especially if there's someone else who is their bad, I just put the blame right at my feet and just allow it to dissolve there, as opposed to sort of bashing it around like some sort of unwanted tennis ball, right? So again, this is Simon Sinek. This is a TED talk, and you can hear it in the background right now. And of course, ideas worth spreading.
There's a man by the name of Captain William Swenson who recently was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his actions on September 8th, 2009. On that day, a column of American and Afghan troops were making their way through a part of Afghanistan to help protect a group of government officials, a group of Afghan government officials who'd be meeting with some local village elders. The column came under ambush and was surrounded on three sides. And amongst many other things, Captain Swenson was recognized for running into live fire to rescue the wounded and pull out the dead. One of the people he rescued was a sergeant, and he and a comrade were making their way to a medevac helicopter. And what was remarkable about this day is, by sheer coincidence, one of the medevac medics happened to have a GoPro camera on his helmet and captured the whole scene on camera. It shows Captain Swenson and his comrade bringing this wounded soldier who'd received a gunshot to the neck. They put him in the helicopter, and then you see Captain Swenson bend over and give him a kiss before he turns around to rescue more. I saw this, and I thought to myself, where do people like that come from? What is that? That is some deep, deep emotion when you would want to do that. There's a love there. And I want to know, why is it that I don't have people that I work with like that? You know, in the military, they give medals to people who are willing to sacrifice themselves so that others may gain. In business, we give bonuses to people who are willing to sacrifice others so that we may gain. Yeah, back. Right? So I asked myself, where do people like this come from? And my initial conclusion was that they're just better people. That's why they're attracted to the military. These better people are attracted to this concept of service. But that's completely wrong. What I learned is that it's the environment. And if you get the environment right, every single one of us has the capacity to do these remarkable things. And more importantly, others have that capacity too. I've had the great honor of getting to meet some of these who we would call heroes, who've put themselves and put their lives at risk to save others. And I asked them, why would you do it? Why did you do it? And they all say the same thing, because they would have done it for me. It's this deep sense of trust and cooperation. So trust and cooperation are really important here. The problem with concepts of trust and cooperation is that they are feelings, they're not instructions. I can't simply say to you, trust me, and you will. I can't simply instruct two people to cooperate and they will. It's not how it works. It's a feeling. So where does that feeling come from? If you go back 50,000 years to the Paleolithic era, to the early days of Homo sapien, what we find is that the world was filled with danger. All of these forces working very, very hard to kill us. Nothing personal. Whether it was the weather, lack of resources, maybe a saber-toothed tiger, all of these things working to reduce our lifespan. And so we evolved into social animals, where we live together and work together in what I call a circle of safety, inside the tribe, where we felt like we belong. And when we felt safe amongst our own, the natural reaction was trust and cooperation. There are inherent benefits to this. It means I can fall asleep at night and trust that someone from within my tribe will watch for danger. If we don't trust each other, if I don't trust you, that means you won't watch for danger. Bad system of survival. The modern day is exactly the same thing. The world is filled with danger, things that are trying to frustrate our lives or reduce our success, reduce our opportunity for success. It could be the ups and downs of an economy, the uncertainty of the stock market. It could be a new technology that renders your business model obsolete overnight. Or it could be your competition that is sometimes trying to kill you. It's sometimes trying to put you out of business, but at the very minimum, is working hard to frustrate your growth and steal your business from you. We have no control over these forces. These are a constant and they're not going away. The only variable are the conditions inside the organization. And that's where leadership matters, because it's the leader that sets the tone.
I want you to think about that, because I know a lot of you who listen to the show are leaders in your own right, whether you're network marketers who are building a team and leading a team, or whether you're conventional business owners who are leading your staff, or employees leading part of your company. But I really think about, and the reason why I'm so passionate about bringing to you some of the great teachers of leadership at an event coming up in May and June, one in Australia, one in the United States, is because, you know, we are leading constantly. We lead our children, we lead our families, we lead our bank accounts, you know, we lead our teams. You know, there's this constant a calling from within to lead. And it doesn't matter whether you're 75 and retired and have worked at a library your whole life. There is a still a yearning and a calling that you know, for us to step into something greater and have an impact on those around us, to lead our community, to lead our churches, to lead, you know, to lead a thought process within it, among our friends. And so with that being said, though, I want to play a song. This, I've never played this before, so I'm going to see how it is. So this is from Private Ryan, and Saving Private Ryan. I just thought with that great analogy that he used with the sort of the rescue and the kiss, and sort of understanding that bond of trust. And this is from the most popular song from Saving Private Ryan. It's called "The Hymn to the Fallen" by John Williams. Just see how this sounds. We'll see how it goes. Again, hopefully you've sort of taken your mind there to that moment where, you know, were you in that situation, whether you could run and save somebody, put yourself in the line of fire and carry them to the helicopter and kiss them on the head and run back to help somebody else. I always feel that, you know, we hear it all the time, these great leaders that step up in a moment and become folklore in so many ways. I remember, you know, when the miracle on the Hudson, where Scully, I think his name was, the pilot, landed the plane on the Hudson River. When you listen to the transcripts and you listen to what happened, you know, so he's taken off, and I think there's, you know, 170 people on board, and, you know, he gets hit by this flock of birds and both engines die, and he's over the city of New York. And to turn around, I'm a pilot, to turn around would be fatal, right? Because there would not be enough airtime for him to get back safely. So he would crash the plane somewhere, you know, short of the runway or in the city. And to divert to the next runway, there was not enough time. And they kept asking him these questions and giving him alternatives. And he just said, negative, negative. And the whole time he's sort of taking on this moment, this responsibility, excuse me, this massive responsibility, and sort of with all of his life experiences, making a decision. And that's when he looks over to his left shoulder and he sees the Hudson River and this sort of perfect runway, as it were. And I mean, the idea of landing a plane in a runway, obviously there's this mindset he has that he can land this thing and this thing could float. And obviously there's the other mindset is, well, you know, if this thing is going to go down, and then let's keep just this plane to be the casualties and not, you know, sort of crash this in the middle of a city. But those moments are that sort of life experience where we can step up to something. And only in those moments of massive adversity does our life's experience come to the forefront, and who we really are inside, how we've groomed our mind, sort of emerges in those moments. It's only in that moment where, you know, the character of a man is shown, or a woman, where, you know, running out and carrying someone to a helicopter and kissing them and running back into the line of fire to save other people, that can only be experienced in the face of fear, right? So, I mean, courage, they say, you know, is only found in the face of fear. And so, I mean, hopefully, and for many of us, you know, really fear, very, very rare in our Western world do we experience fear at that kind of level where, you know, we get to sort of see, you know, how we're really made. Because intellectually, we can say these things. Yeah, we can do these things, right? But what I like about, you know, the setup by Simon is this idea of the tribe and this safety and trust. And for some of you right now, again, especially you network marketers, this idea of developing trust and having trust and people really belonging to something that you've created. And one thing that I really have found myself, and I again, we'll see where Simon goes with this, is the extension of trust. I extend 100% of trust to every single person I meet 100% of the time and allow them to break the trust. What I found, though, is when I extend the hand of trust at that level, as people live into it, people who sometimes would break trust with other people won't break trust with me because I've extended so much trust so quickly that they don't break the bond of trust because of that. But a lot of people would dance with trust and, well, if I don't really trust you, so I'm not going to give you trust. So then the relationship, and that's where, you know, Covey's book, The Speed of Trust, the idea that, you know, when there is massive trust, there is massive speed because everyone can make decisions. Warren Buffett can make decisions without signing an agreement. And so when you trust people, agreement is unessential. Yes, can you still get it to protect things? Yeah, you can. But is it essential to make a deal? No. When you work with people and you trust them, you can make decisions very, very quickly, right? So this is the whole idea, again, as we sort of step into this. And I want you to understand, if any of this is speaking to you and you want to take your leadership to the next level, I really invite you to join us at amplifiedleaders.info, amplifiedleaders.info, where you can find out about this next leadership event. And again, we have been speaking to Sinek, Mr. Simon Sinek, about attending this. That is not, certainly not even on the cards at this point, but it's certainly something we've had the conversation about. So we'll see how that goes. But we do have some great titans, you know, John Maxwell and Robin Sharma, Jack Canfield. I just started conversations with Lisa Nichols. I sent her a text the other day. She's a good friend of mine. But, you know, we really want to bring in some amazing, amazing, amazing leaders to really allow you, Mike Dooley from The Secret with The Power of Thought. So again, just as you listen to this and you listen to your level of trust, and not only the trust that you give to others, but the trust that you evoke in others, where they trust you, they'll follow you, they'll follow your word, right? Let's go back to Simon.
When a leader makes the choice to put the safety and lives of the people inside the organization first, to sacrifice their comforts and sacrifice the tangible results so that the people remain and feel safe and feel like they belong, remarkable things happen. I was flying on a trip, and I was witness to an incident where a passenger attempted to board before their number was called. And I watched the gate agent treat this man like he had broken the law, like a criminal. He was yelled at for attempting to board one group too soon. So I said something. I said, why do you have to treat us like cattle? Why can't you treat us like human beings? And this is exactly what she said to me. She said, sir, if I don't follow the rules, I could get in trouble or lose my job. All she was telling me is that she doesn't feel safe. All she was telling me is that she doesn't trust her leaders. The reason we like flying Southwest Airlines is not because they necessarily hire better people. It's because they don't fear their leaders. You see, if the conditions are wrong, we're forced to expend our own time and energy to protect ourselves from each other. And that inherently weakens the organization. When we feel safe inside the organization, we will naturally combine our talents and our strengths and work tirelessly to face the dangers outside and seize the opportunities. The closest analogy I can give to what a great leader is, it's like being a parent. If you think about what being a great parent is, what do you want? What makes a great parent? We want to give our child opportunities, education, discipline them when necessary, all so that they can grow up and achieve more than we could for ourselves. Great leaders want exactly the same thing. They want to provide their people opportunity, education, discipline when necessary, build their self-confidence, give them the opportunity to try and fail, all so that they could achieve more than we could ever imagine for ourselves. Charlie Kim, who's the CEO of a company called NextJump in New York City, a tech company, he makes the point that if you had hard times in your family, would you ever consider laying off one of your children? We would never do it. Then why do we consider laying off people inside our organization? Charlie implemented a policy of lifetime employment. If you get a job at NextJump, you cannot get fired for performance issues. In fact, if you have issues, they will coach you and they will give you support. just like we would with one of our children who happens to come home with a C from school. It's the complete opposite. This is the reason so many people have such a visceral hatred, anger at some of these banking CEOs with their disproportionate salaries and bonus structures. It's not the numbers. It's that they have violated the very definition of leadership. They have violated this deep-seated social contract. We know that they allowed their people to be sacrificed so that they could protect their own interests. Or worse, they sacrificed their people to protect their own interests. This is what so offends us, not the numbers. Would anybody be offended if we gave a $150 million bonus to Gandhi? How about a $250 million bonus to Mother Teresa? Do we have an issue with that? None at all. None at all. Great leaders would never sacrifice the people to save the numbers. They would sooner sacrifice the numbers to save the people. Bob Chapman, who runs a large manufacturing company in the Midwest called Barry Waymiller, in 2008, was hit very hard by the recession, and they lost 30% of their orders overnight. Now, in a large manufacturing company, this is a big deal, and they could no longer afford their labor pool. They needed to save $10 million. So, like so many companies today, the board got together and discussed layoffs. And Bob refused. You see, Bob doesn't believe in head counts. Bob believes in heart counts.
Let that one sink in for a second. Heart counts. Eh? Are you enjoying? I hope you're enjoying this. I'm loving this. Here we go. A little Barbra Streisand for you, people. Barbra Streisand for you. I like Barbra Streisand. She's just come out with a new album, by the way. It's a duets album. And I played a little part of it just, what was I? It was yesterday at my training. And it was just really, really powerful. And so, she really has got this wonderful, wonderful way with her that is just so, so powerful. And by the way, I just had a little technical error there where my TED talk just went a little bit AWOL. So right now I'm pacing myself as hoping that I can get back to where it was with Mr. Cynic here. I may not be able to. It's gone into like a hibernation mode. Let's just see what happens if I push this on in 1 sec. Oop. It's not wanting to do it. So
Bob believes
here we go.
In heart counts. And it's much more difficult to simply reduce the heart count. And so they came up with a furlough program. Every employee from secretary to CEO was required to take 4 weeks of unpaid vacation. They could take it any time they wanted, and they did not have to take it consecutively. But it was how Bob announced the program that mattered so much. He said, "It's better that we should all suffer a little than any of us should have to suffer a lot." And morale went up. They saved $20 million. And most importantly, as would be expected, when the people feel safe and protected by the leadership in the organization, the natural reaction is to trust and cooperate. And quite spontaneously, nobody expected, people started trading with each other. Those who could afford it more would trade with those who could afford it less. People would take 5 weeks so that somebody else only had to take 3. Leadership is a choice. It is not a rank. I know many people at the senior-most levels of organizations who are absolutely not leaders. They are authorities, and we do what they say because they have authority over us, but we would not follow them. And I know many people who are at the bottoms of organizations, who have no authority, and they are absolutely leaders. And this is because they have chosen to look after the person to the left of them, and they have chosen to look after the person to the right of them. This is what a leader is. I heard a story of some Marines who were out in theater, and as is the Marine custom, the officer ate last, and he let his men eat first. And when they were done, there was no food left for him. And when they went back out in the field, his men brought him some of their food so that he may eat. Because that's what happens. We call them leaders because they go first. We call them leaders because they take the risk before anybody else does. We call them leaders because they will choose to sacrifice so that their people may be safe and protected, and so their people may gain. And when we do, the natural response is that our people will sacrifice for us. They will give us their blood and sweat and tears to see that their leader's vision comes to life. And when we ask them, why would you do that? Why would you give your blood and sweat and tears for that person? They all say the same thing. Because they would have done it for me.
Yeah, I hope you're getting this. It's good stuff. I'll play one more song. I got a little thing to share with you before we go, but here, a little Village People in the Navy going along with what you said.
Your mind at ease. In the Navy. Come on now, people, make a stand. In the Navy. Can't you say we beat a hand? In the Navy. Come on, protect the motherland. In the Navy. Come on and join your fellow man. In the Navy.
Such great stuff. Really rich, rich in content. Simon really hits this one on the head. And really, you know, again, when we get back to the conversation again that I'm about to have with my son in a few minutes here, really about the importance of trust and that feeling of safety. And how, you know, there are so many ways that we can violate with our people, with the people we lead. I love this idea of eating last. I know I train a lot of trainers, and those of you that listen that are my trainers, when we go away at events like down on the island, that's one of the things I ask the people that are training with me, is that they're always last to the table. They're always last to eat. And sometimes often all the good food is gone. And just the way it is, you know, and there really is that idea of putting other people first so they do feel safe in the environment that you're creating. So again, whether it's a network marketing organization or whether it's a conventional business, whatever it is you are doing right now, I want you to think about this quote I started with, is that the idea that my favorite, 8 most powerful words, tell the truth all the time with compassion. The compassion part can be hard, but learning how to tell the truth about everything. And when you hear your mind go to the BS story that it's about to make up, it's just to interrupt it, correct it, and lay the blame at your own feet if you have to sometimes. Just take that and just see what happens. I mean, blame is a terrible word anyway. But remember, you know, the person who wants to lead the orchestra must turn his or her back on the crowd. And I think, you know, we've just got to get away from this indoctrination of distrust that is so endemic in the Western culture. And I know my show goes out to lots of different cultures, but again, primarily the Western culture. This idea of, you know, extended massive trust and being trustworthy, you know, and living in a world where trust and truth sort of are hand in hand and really side by side, and that you would rather die than tell a lie, right? And that's an incredible place to be at, because I lied my whole life. It took me a long time to find the truth. But wow, how sexy is the truth? And remember, you know, I can't really give you the formula for success, but the formula for failure is trying to please everyone. And that's where a lot of lies come from. It's in that sort of trying to please people and trying not to hurt people's feelings. Better to rip the Band-Aid off and tell the truth. But you can set the intention before the truth. Hey, listen, I want to share. Is okay if I share the truth? Like my son could have easily said, hey, Dad. The first time he lied, he said, hey, Dad, you know what? I'm afraid to tell you this because I'm afraid that other people may get in trouble because of it. And would it be okay if I don't tell you? And I would have said, absolutely, I understand. But okay, if you need help making a decision, or I would have said, well, look, if I promise not to divulge, would it be okay if I help you navigate this decision? So just in case someone's getting hurt, right? So there's lots of different ways to do that. And I'm about to go and have this conversation with him right now. And so, I know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to offer him a pathway back to having absolute trust, where I never have to question the words he speaks, right? Because that's the world. Anyway. Wow, that came from nowhere. All right. So with that being said, I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Where are you going to be in May and June? By the way, I'm not stuffing this feeling. I'm enjoying this feeling. I just have to get to the end of the show, because otherwise we're going to sit here and I can have a little babble and you guys can come along for it. But all right, so amplifiedleaders.info, amplifiedleaders.info. And I want you to be there. I want you to make a commitment, not only to be there, but bring your teams there. Make sure that you bring everyone you can to this event. I'm going to make sure this is the greatest leadership event on the planet Earth. And again, every area of your life, leading your relationships, leading your finances, leading your teams, every area will be covered, and we're bringing in the best of the best to do it. So again, I want you there, amplifiedleaders.info. That'll help you make the decision, but don't sit on this one. You know, there are payment plans for you, and I want you to be there. And don't forget, I've also, those of you that are in network marketing the whole idea of retention, I really love the profession of network marketing, as you know, and I really am an advocate for network marketing done well. But I know that a lot of people start and they leave. So I've created a retention series for you. So amplifiednetworkmarketing.com/retain, amplifiednetworkmarketing.com/retain. That's just for those of you in network marketing. Those of you that are not, don't worry about it. That's not your thing. I get it. And again, just understand that I am all about creating freedom for people. And one of the great freedoms of the world is the freedom of truth. When you can stand in truth and die by truth, like the wonderful Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King, they're really, you know, these people that are willing to die for what they believe in. And I think, you know, if we all live that kind of life, as Simon said, you know, who would mind giving you a $250 million bonus? With that being said, don't forget to crank up your relationships. Turn the dial up on your intimacy. Crank up your bank account and squeeze the juice out of every second, because you deserve it. And I'll definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.